Blog Talk Radio.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
Mm-mm. He's not on steroids, but it was nice of you to ask.
You are a very bad person, Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Watch out for your cornhole, bud.
Right.
23 years of broadcasting, I thought I'd seen it all, folks.
You gotta love a man who can broadcast naked behind a microphone.
What the hell are you doing?
Here's your host of the Fitness Buck Show, Pete Williams.
Happy New Year to you, and welcome to the Fitness Buff Show. We've been on hiatus for quite a while, and it's good to be back to kick off 2016. And what better way than with our favorite author, Tim Dorsey. Now, you may say, what does Tim have to do with fitness? Although I would argue that Tim's the lead character, Sergey Storms, the way that guy goes all over the Sunshine State. He is a man who must be in tremendous shape, and that's why we're talking with author Tim Dorsey today. Over the last 17 years, he has entertained readers with tales of Florida zaniness, featuring his likable killer Sergey Storms and his trusty sidekick Coleman as they travel through the Sunshine State, wiping out bad guys, providing a historical travel along the way. Tim's 19th book is coming out next week, and what a run of the last couple weeks Tim's been on. At the end of the year, was announced, finally, long overdue, that his books are going to be made into a television series. He next week will be honored with the John D. McDonald Award for Excellence in Florida Fiction, and I believe today's not his birthday. It's coming up soon, so we welcome in Tim Dorsey. Tim, happy birthday, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, you've been on a whirlwind, Tim, and I guess that's only appropriate because your new novel, Coconut Cowboy, well, Serge and Coleman are always on a whirlwind tour, but this one in particular has a movie theme, specifically Easy Rider, and I know Serge has always been a movie buff. It's been a theme of several of your novels in the past, but this is Easy Rider theme, correct?
That is correct. And you don't have to have watched the movie to get the book because he'll explain it ad nauseum, but if you have seen the movie, the thing was, their goal was to get to Florida, but the movie climaxed in Louisiana before they could get to Florida, and Serge was always upset about that, and when it came out on DVD, he bought it in case, you know, in the bonus material, there was an alternate ending. There wasn't.
That it's a cult classic, obviously, 1969. Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson in one of his first roles, and Peter Fonda, of course, as well. And that's going to be a subplot in Coconut Cowboy. Tim, as we look at your series, one thing I've noticed in your latest, maybe the last three or four, maybe it's just me, or is Coleman, I don't know, maybe just from hanging out with Serge, has he gotten a little more intelligent? He's not as ditzy as he was about 9 or 10 books ago?
I don't know. It goes in waves. It depends on how good his connections are, you know, as far as, you know, scoring whatever substances or, you know, getting low-grade beer to drink all the time. I don't really pay attention to that. I just kind of have him react to Serge.
I think we might have lost him there for just a minute on his cell connection. His new book, of course, is Coconut Cowboy. It's coming out on January 26th. Obviously, you can order it right now at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, as well as this whole 18-book backlist, starting with Florida Roadkill. And as we were just discussing, Florida Roadkill is going to be the title of a new television series focused on Tim's books and Tim's character, Sergey Storms, and his trusty sidekick, Coleman. And Tim is kicking off his book tour this week at Miaka River State Park. He's going to be hitting places all over Florida and then around the country. You can see or read more about that. He's no doubt coming somewhere near you at timdorsey.com. Tim, do we have you back?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
We seem to have lost Tim again. I'm hoping maybe he's
Hello.
Going to call back in and we can get him back on the air. But again, you can find it at timdorsey.com. All of his books, and the latest one, Coconut Cowboys, he's just talking about, has a theme there going with Easy Rider, classic film with Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson, Peter Fonda. You can read more about that at timdorsey.com. And as we mentioned, he's going to be receiving that John D. McDonald Award for Excellence in Fiction. That's going to be on Tuesday, January 26th in Sarasota. So if you're inclined, not sure that event's open to the public, probably is, you can see Tim get his award there. So lots going on in Tim's world. And while we're waiting for Tim to dial back in, I want to remind you everything we have going on in our world at the Fitness Buff Show. We cover Florida sports, all endurance sports at EnduranceSportsFlorida.com. If you're into obstacle racing, ObstacleFit.com. We're always proud of our clothing optional 5K run. We have the Caliente Berrydare 5K. This year, there are 7th annual event coming up on Sunday, May 1st at the beautiful Caliente Resort. You can register for that at nuderaces.com. Let's see if we have Tim back in. Tim, are you there? He seems to be having some technical difficulties here with Tim's phone. Hopefully we'll get him in momentarily. But since 1999, that's when Tim's first book came out, Florida Roadkill. And that book set off Surge and Coleman on some great adventures that continue to this day. Coconut Cowboy is his latest book, and you can find that, like I said, at Amazon.com, wherever books are sold. And if you haven't read some of Tim's books, I mean, there's some underlying themes. I mean, Surge is a serial killer, but a likable serial killer. And I know I've heard Tim say this many times. He only kills really bad guys, and he makes creative use of Home Depot products to make that happen, things he would buy, and cleverly and appropriately gives these guys their comeuppance in ways they deserve based on the what they perpetrated on people throughout the state of Florida. Tim was a former Tampa Tribune reporter and editor from 1987 to 1999. He was ahead of the curve. He got out of the crazy newspaper business just like I did in the late 90s. We found better things to do. I don't think either of us saw the crash in journalism that has come, but nonetheless, we both found other ways to other ways to make a living. Tim more successfully than me, I should add, but he has made a great and it's been a hard road, I know. And Tim, if you look at his website, timdorsey.com, check out his upcoming tour. He will go throughout the state of Florida, sometimes making 2 and even occasionally 3 appearances a day. I mean, you talk about some endurance work. This is it. And when he can make his way and make 2 or 3 appearances and presentations and readings and take questions and from all the fans across Florida, and then he takes it even beyond Florida, all over the country to promote his books. And I know as a book author myself, to gain that kind of traction, to make those kind of appearances, it takes a lot. It takes many appearances and radio shows and call-ins and things just like that, and to build that traction. Thankfully, it goes hand-in-hand with his terrific novels, the latest of which is Coconut Cowboy, which you can find, again, at Amazon.com, wherever books are sold. I have not read it myself. It comes out officially. We're talking here on Wednesday, January 20th. It comes out officially on Tuesday, January 26th. So I'm waiting for my review copy, and if not, I'm going to buy one on Amazon myself. And to hear, because I'm a big fan of the movie Easy Rider, a movie that, I'm afraid to admit, that movie came out the year I was born. But I obviously saw it later in life, and with Peter Fonda, with Father of Jane, of course, and also Dennis Hopper, the late great, and Jack Nicholson in one of his first roles. So definitely want to check that out. And as Tim said, you need not have seen Easy Rider, because Surge always offers a great historical contextual explanation for all of his things. And I'm sure we'll get an even greater appreciation for the book, for the movie, which I didn't realize, and Tim was just telling us, that it actually was supposed to end in Florida, but they stopped in nonetheless. They stopped in Louisiana just in time. Tim, I hope we have you back. My apologies for our technical difficulties.
Yeah, I've got 2 phones here. I had one on each ear. I didn't know which one would recognize.
Okay, well, we're back in, and I appreciate it. And we were talking about that Coconut Cowboy and Easy Rider, and as we look at what Surge and Coleman have done, this book goes into the Panhandle, an area that, unless I'm mistaken, I believe I've read all your stuff, but you haven't ventured too often into the Panhandle. What brings you to that area this time?
Yeah, I've been up there a couple of times. I was up there with my second book and then the Spring Break book. They came up to Panama City. But this one was to pick up the thread of Easy Rider. And of course, Surge is just the manic, over-the-top history buff with all the weird. And he starts out and he explains that where they were, and I tracked it, and where they were in Louisiana when the movie ended actually used to be a part of Florida. When the Panhandle went all the way over there. And so he said, actually, they did make it to Florida, and he explains, and this is true, that there was actually, in the early 1800s, a separate country within the United States called the Republic of West Florida. which it was very brief, but it actually had a legislature and a president and a constitution. And so the book starts out with Serge reclaiming the Republic of West Florida, and then he plants a flag and then heads off into the into the peninsula.
Surely there should be some memorabilia and T-shirts, if nothing else, about the Republic of West
Florida. They should.
Florida. Tim, one thing, it's a signature part of your book, is that Serge always finds signature ways to kill people, only bad people who are deserving of this, and gives them the appropriate comeuppance based on how they've treated and abused people. And one thing I've always wondered is he always does it with Home Depot products and shops there. And I was wondering if the people at Lowe's or Ace Hardware ever come to you and demanding equal time.
Not exactly, but the odd thing that has happened, and that was actually an accident of when I was writing, because I had one book and I really didn't have, the murder methods up to Serge. You know, you want to maintain a standard of quality, and so I said, well, I walked it back in my head, and I go, well, how does he do this? And I go, well, he usually gets stuff at Home Depot. So I went down to Home Depot with a notepad, and I just walked the aisles and took notes on stuff that I saw, and I go, I can use that and that and that, and then I rigged it all up in my head and took notes and came back home, and I had every murder in the book. And so I said, I'm going to actually enunciate that Serge does what I just did. And then as a result, it's as I go on these book tours, I get all the I have various demographics. And now I have all of these Home Depot employees who like show up and they give me like hats and buttons, and it's hilarious.
No doubt. And people are obviously in Florida, there's no shortage of material that you can draw from the newspapers, and now on your Facebook pages and other social media, people are giving you an avalanche of ideas there. Tim, I know you're going to receive the John D. McDonald Award for Excellence in Florida Fiction next week in Sarasota, a guy whose work yours has been compared to, and some folks, friends and contemporaries, and I know people you admire like Carl Hiaasen and Randy Wainwright, and of course Elmore Leonard have won this award in the past. What will this mean to get this next week?
Oh gosh. Yeah, this one, I can't even be glib about it. I'm just humbled because not just in John D. McDonald, the namesake, but the list of the recipients. And this is, I think they've only given out six in like 24 years. So it's not, it's not all the time they do this. And I had every single person on the list. I have their books and hardcovers up on my shelf before I even got my first book published, which was like 17 years ago. But, yeah, I've been following this award, and this is like, that Talking Heads song, well, how did I get here? that's kind of how I'm feeling about this. It's just, it feels a little surreal.
And not just that, I know a lot of your success. I think it was Bonnie Raitt who said that, I worked 25 years to be an overnight success. But Tim, I can remember meeting you first at a Barnes & Noble in Clearwater for the promotion of your book, Orange Crush. And, I think I was one of four people, and you spent a half hour talking to me. And I know you've done a zillion tours, appearances, and interviews like this to build the traction to where you are now. And I imagine it must be incredibly rewarding at this point to see things like the movie, not the movie, the TV series Florida Roadkill come to fruition and these sort of things. Can you maybe just explain how the grind that's been a part of this that and continues to be, because I look at your book tour.
Yeah, I remember those, and I was glad. I mean, even, sometimes I'd go someplace and they go, oh, gee, not big turnout, and I'm like, this is pretty much the turnout. Like when you're just starting out, you think, oh, I've got a big publisher, but, you hear stories about Grisham driving around with books in his trunk, and you hear, in the music, you hear about Bruce Springsteen just barnstorming the heck out of his early career, just playing a million places and building up that word of mouth of his live performances. And so that's the one thing I could control is me being out there on the road. And but there's like nobody was shut. I mean, you go to all these places and, people, wouldn't show up. And that's nothing abnormal at all. You've just got to keep plugging away. So what I did is I went down to this print shop and I got this gigantic banner, those big, all-weather banners, like 12 feet wide and 3 feet tall. And I had a little collapsible ladder I put in my car and some string, and so I show up like an hour ahead of them and said, you know, best-selling author Tim Dorsey, which I wasn't then, but I had the picture of the book. And I go to a Barnes & Noble where they have those pillars or columns out front, and I'd get there early, and I'd set up the ladder and start hanging this thing. And sometimes employees would come out and say, are you supposed to do that? I go, well, that's why they made the banner. You know, just guerrilla marketing. So everybody would go into the Barnes & Noble that day, would see, you know, that this person was there. And so they would gravitate toward where I had my table or whatever and talk to me somewhere. But yeah, it's been a fun trip. And now the fact that, you know, when I go in and there's an audience, you know, in the chairs is a lot of fun now. The difference is you can, because you're doing the same tour each year. I have a book a year and I go out and I do that. So you can kind of, you know, see the difference that, you know, 17 years takes on a body.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to, like, you know, after my evening event, I might, you know, go to, you know, a couple of the stores and sign stock, and or you know, somebody, you know, some booksellers or whatever want to go get something to eat. I just go back to the hotel and have, like, with like a Subway's tuna salad sandwich, just lay there and watch SportsCenter in my sweatpants until I nod off. But that's the glamour of the book tour.
That's what nobody ever sees. I know you often kick it off here in my backyard in the Safety Harbor Library. We're still one of your first events. I think there's been some tacked on to the start. You're kicking it off at Myakka River State Park in Sarasota.
Yeah.
Which, if memory serves, you've hit in your books a couple times. Electric Barracuda, I want to say, maybe a couple others. Just a beautiful, underrated place.
Unfortunately, the weather canceled that thing this Friday, but... But Safety Harbor has always been my official first one. Every once in a while, like, it's kind of like, you know, they'll have a makeup game for, you know, rain out or whatever. So sometimes, I might tack something on the weekend ahead of time if I have to cancel something, you know, in the previous year. But yeah, the library up there in Safety Harbor, I'm looking forward to it. That's actually, and you mentioned, because I could hear you talking the whole time we were having technical difficulties. The John D. McDonald thing is open to the public, and then there's a reception afterwards, and that's just a coincidence. They just asked that day, and I said, that's my on-sale day. And so I'm going to get that and do the reception, then I'm going to drive up to Safety Harbor for my first event of the tour.
Tim, it seems in recent years it's been trendy for every major author, you know, John Grisham all the way down the line, David Baldacci, Carl Hiaasen, to do some young adult books. You have not done that yet. Maybe it's in the works. I know my 13-year-old has been reading your books. A, should I be concerned? And B, or have you considered a young adult version?
Well, I've kind of considered it, but with my annual cycle of doing, you know, a regular novel as well as, I don't know if you mentioned yet, my average is a little over 100 events a year. So between those two things, there's, even if I had an inclination, I really don't know when I would do it. But Carl's done a really great job with that stuff. But as far as your 13-year-old, I'm shocked at how young some of the kids are that are reading this with their parents' approval. But then I'm not so shocked. I kind of think about it this way, you know, it's like whatever the material is in the books, you know, the kids that are going to give us trouble or have problems aren't the ones that are reading novels for their own pleasure. They're not the readers. So... Yeah,
well, not just that, but I grew up in Virginia where, you know, we're loaded with history everywhere and whatever. And Florida history, while it's rich, it isn't always obvious, and it's certainly not taught in schools. And I think you can learn a lot, and I know this is one of your goals. So you can learn a lot about the state of Florida and its history just by reading your books.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I have to, you know, confess that Serge is sort of, you know, childlike, you know, overzealous enthusiasm for Florida. That's me. I mean, I'll go places and I try to kind of, you know, repress my excitement when I find stuff because, you know, I'll talk to people and sometimes I'll become annoying and have to leave. But you know, in general, all these places are, you know, things that I've found. And so I just have Serge as my alter ego, you know, get all excited and preach the value of the heritage to whoever will listen or whoever he will force to listen. So.
Now, I know we're all of us who follow your books are very excited about the TV series that's forthcoming, and we call it Florida Roadkill. I know your books have been an option for many, many years, and it's now going to come to fruition. And, Tim, I know when I talk to authors about who've gone through this process, whether it's for the big screen or TV or whatever, they say, well, the best thing I can say is that the check's cleared or whatnot, meaning they don't get a whole lot of say in anything, and it's like somebody takes their children and does with them what they may. What's your impression about how this process is going to be, and what do you envision, and what do you hope?
Well, I actually, I'm not worried about that at all based upon, and I'm trying to stay out of the way, but based upon the feedback I've gotten, they've read enough and they've become versed enough in the series of the books that they're going to start with, I believe, with Triggerfish Twist is the plan, which is kind of impressive because that's like the prequel, and they read enough into the series that when they were, you know, putting together their series, they said, well, this is, you know, we're gonna do the timeline like that and start off with Serge's backstory and stuff. And move forward. So I think they're into the spirit of the characters. I am. It seems like a contract that I'm a consultant. I'm actually a paid consultant. So I don't know if that's just like to bribe me to just be quiet, or they're going to check with me. They're going to verify Florida facts because Serge is very fact conscious.
A paid-off consultant, and I guess given the content of the book, it's your impression this will probably be an HBO or premium channel Netflix kind of production.
I am not sure. I mean, I know that is something that would be a logical fit. You know, along with, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that's making other cable. You know, there's like AMC and USA and other networks, you know, they had, like, you know, Mr. Robot and, you know, Breaking Bad and, you know, the Breaking Bad spinoff of The Lawyer Saul. And you know, so those are very edgy. And so premium's a great fit. Those edgier cable, you know, networks are good fits as well. I'm just, like you said, you know, it was optioned all those years, and so I would just cash my option check, and, you know, and I knew that they were some of the good people who were working on it, and these people have been working on it for a number of years. They finally got it just reached a tipping point where the proposal was floating around enough offices that they got a call back from this TV studio that actually makes the series and films them, and they said, we want to make this into a TV show, and so they talked to me, and I said, heck yeah. You know, what am I going to say, no?
Right. We've had a run here in Florida, and I know it's largely because of tax incentives and breaks and those sort of things with everything from Magic Mike to Spring Breakers to The Punisher to on down the line, the Dolphin Tale films, Winter's Tale films, and everything else. We got to hope it's going to be filmed in Florida, but I know that's no guarantee, right? It could be like everything else, filmed in Toronto. Made to look like.
Yeah, but it would be tough. I mean, when we had some TV shows. We had The Glades and we had Burn Notice, and, you know, those were filmed here. And of course, CSI Miami was not. They just took a lot of exterior and aerial shots, but that was earlier. But no, I mean, I really love watching Burn Notice and The Glades to look at the background, because I could recognize a lot of the places.
Tim, you mentioned earlier about the cycle of your year, 100 events a year, so that those get underway like right now. Is that kind of how your year works? The first third of it is sort of toward events, and then is writing the middle third and the editing the final third, or how does it work?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, there's a concentrated amount of, like, for example, I just sent in the last draft of next year's novel to my agent last weekend. I always try to get that in before the tour so that I've had some continuity, because you'll lose it afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll go into the tour, and then I'll get back and I'll start writing the next novel. And then after I've done a couple drafts, I'll set it aside and do some fall, because I get – you know, it's non-tour, it's not, you know, non-new release tour events to speak. I've spoken at a variety of venues now, especially, you know, because of the Florida interest in the books. I've spoken at, you know, performing arts centers, and several historical societies have had me speak and do slideshow presentations, and other, I've been at it in, besides Myakka River State Park, I was at Whedon Island Nature Preserve out there. At their, they had a conference room in their interpretive center, and that's actually flattering because these are people who, you know, have a, you know, love of Florida, and of course, you know, the humor is just, you know, the, you know, the icing on top. But yeah, so I'll do a smattering of those late in the year once I've done the heavy lifting on the first couple drafts of the next book. And so I'll kind of weave back and forth in the fall between doing some polishing drafts and, you know, picking up these events. And there's like the Miami Book Fair and the Jimmy Buffett Convention, you know, just the eclectic mix at the end of the year.
And that's become part of this, too. You've had a Facebook promotion in recent weeks of where surge of identifying various places in Florida and that sort of thing. So I imagine that's got to be a lot more. I mean, you certainly enjoy and appreciate, I know, all the libraries, bookstores, and everything else, but adding these kind of eclectic venues to your tour.
Yeah, and I had an unusual one. It was my publisher. They said there was a book warehouse where they're going to fly me up and have me sign, like, you know, like a couple thousand books and have a promotion where you could order, you know, you could request a personalization and pre-order it. And so I said, okay, where do I have to go? And he goes, well, I don't know if we don't know where this is. You might, you know, Florence, Alabama. And I'm like, oh my gosh. That's where the Rolling Stones stayed at the Holiday Inn, you know, when they recorded their three Sticky Finger songs for, you know, in Muscle Shoals. And I'm like, it's the whole Muscle Shoals sound, Aretha Franklin, and I'm just babbling to them, just like searching.
Uh-huh.
And they go, okay, Timmy, yeah, you know where it is. Okay, you just signed the books. Where, you know? So I signed the books, and then I zipped around, because it's a very small area, and I took the – there was actually – you'd never expect to see a historic sign in rural Alabama, you know, touting the Rolling Stones, you know, there. But I found that in some other places that were, you know, were germane to music history. And
that's
then,
awesome. The
yeah,
book
so
is
that,
–
that's an, that was – I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was about to say, Tim, we have to wrap it up. The book is Coconut Cowboy, the 19th in the Sergei Storm series. You can read all about it at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Also, see where Tim's coming, somewhere near you, no doubt, especially if you're in Florida, at timdorsey.com. Tim, best of luck. Always enjoy talking. You always have enjoyed following your career and reading all your books, and look forward to a continued saga.
Thank you. Yeah, we go way back to that that early book signing, so thanks for having me back.
You bet. All right. Again, that's Tim Dorsey. You can check out his new book, Coconut Cowboy. That's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. TimDorsey.com is where you can find Tim showing up, no doubt, at a place near you, not just in Florida. He'll go beyond the Sunshine State later in the year. So I want to thank Tim for that. Look forward to everything he has going on, including upcoming Florida Roadkill TV series. That's going to be awesome, no doubt. Hopefully they'll treat that with the care that it deserves. We'll look forward to that as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Fitness Buff Show. My name's Pete Williams. We'll see you again next time.